So I've been around for some time and traveled extensively. And I'm really already seeing before my eyes Christian people who insist we follow Jesus. And we don't want to change from following Jesus. But they're drawing closer to us Muslims. And many of them are now saying to me, we accept the Quran to be the word of the one God. And as a consequence, we accept Muhammad, Allah's blessing, to be a prophet. And we remain Christians. These are the emails I'm getting, particularly in the Orthodox Christian world, Eastern Orthodox Christian world. They have been particularly touched when they learned from the Quran what they never knew before.
One of the sticking points was that there is a private university called the University of Buckingham. It's a small town toward the north, toward Milton Keynes side of Buckinghamshire. And that's a private university. It used to be the only private university at the time. Now there are one or two others as well. And the University of Buckingham were really on their tiptoes trying to keep an eye, breathing down our neck, how we might choose a name which might collide with or clash with their identity. So I went through lots of iterations, but actually that is how we wanted the name Buckinghamshire retained in our history, because that's part of our identity as well. And so that is how then finally the relevant authorities, as well as the Buckinghamshire University of Buckingham, agreed with the formulation Buckinghamshire New University.
Okay.
Buckinghamshire New University. Mm. And eschatology and other things. Sheikh Imran is recognized to be the world authority on matters of this kind. And it's a privilege to be able to have your company with us and your presentation, sir. So if you speak for about half an hour or so, and then we will explore some questions and answers with you. Is that okay?
Yes.
Thank you so much indeed,
We begin with the blessed name of the one God. We praise him and we glorify him as he ought to be praised and glorified. And we pray for peace and for blessings on all his noble messengers and our Father Adam, our Father Abraham, on Moses, on Jesus, and on his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and on the last of them all, the Blessed Prophet Muhammad. And I am grateful to Professor Shafiq and this group for having invited me to share with you today my views on the Christian, the Muslim, and the end times. I suspect you will discover something of the Caribbean in my accent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking
every now and again, yes, sir.
I'm looking forward. I've been traveling, you won't believe this, for the last 1 year. And I'm looking forward to leaving my hotel at 7:30 tomorrow morning for Heathrow to fly back to the Caribbean. It is indeed a privilege to be here at the Buckingham New University and to address this group on Muslim Christian relations. At this time in history, when there is so much unfolding in the world, it causes many people to be bewildered. We can't understand what's happening in the world. And our response is to remind mankind that there is but one God, and there is therefore but one truth, and therefore there is but one religious way of life which follows the one truth. The word Islam means submission to the one God, which includes submission to his law. But the one religion with the one God is comprised of several religious communities. And so from our belief, we recognize Abraham to be the prophet par excellence of the religion of Islam. And if you will forgive me, only a schoolboy would say that the religion of Islam came to the world for the first time with Prophet Muhammad, Allah's blessings be upon him. And we don't have schoolboys here today. The Quran has addressed us in a surah entitled "The Table Laden with Food the Disciples of Jesus Asked the Lord God to Send It Down," cooked food. And that surah or chapter of the Quran is titled after that, "Table Laden with Food," Surah Al-Ma'idah. And I will refrain from quoting the Arabic text. "To each of you," meaning to each religious community in the one religion, "to each of you have we given a sacred law and a spiritual path. And if we had so desired, we, the Lord God, we could have created all of you as one religious community, one. But we have not done that. We have not done that so that we can test you in that which has been given to you, the Torah, the Gospel, to you, the Quran, to you, the Vedas, etc. So compete with each other in all that is virtuous. Compete with each other in resisting oppression." That is what the Lord God has asked us to do as different religious communities. "All of you will return to me. And when you do, I will then explain to you the matters wherein you differed." And the Quran then proceeds to explain relations between two communities. First of all, the Israelite community, which follows the Messiah and before him, Moses and David and Solomon, Allah's blessings be upon them. And this community which follows Muhammad, Allah's blessings be upon him. And it says that at that time when they saw him crucified before their very eyes, some of them were weeping because They believed in him as the Messiah. And others were celebrating. From that moment onwards, the Lord God never used the term Israelite again after that. Banu Israel. He now gives two separate names for these two. Those who celebrated, rejected him as the Messiah and celebrated, the Quran now refers to them as Al-Yahud, the Jews. They may define themselves differently. I am giving you the definition in the Quran. The definition of Yahud or a Jew in the Quran is one who has rejected the Messiah and who celebrated when they saw him crucified before their very eyes. And then the Quran used the term Nasara, which we translate as Christian, or people who follow the Messiah because they accepted the Messiah, the Son of the Virgin Mary. And these two communities now, from the Israelite, the original Israelite community, these two combined to be called a new term, the people of the scripture, Ahlul Kitab. This side, the Christian side, is treated separately in the Quran, and from that side, the Jewish side. And I want to turn to only one part of the Quran, which is particularly relevant to the end time. In the same surah, the table laden with food, the Quran declares that you will most certainly find, at this time when the Quran was revealed, as well as in time to come, that those who will have the greatest hatred and hostility and enmity for you would be the Jews, as well as a people who are sunk in blasphemy, shirk. And you will most certainly find, at this time when the Quran is revealed, as well as in time to come, that those who will be closest in love and affection for you would be a people, mark the language, a people who will proclaim, we are Christians. It does not say it would be a Christian people who would be closest in love and affection for you. No, no. It says that they would be a people who declare, who proclaim, we are Christians, and therefore they primary identity is not their nationality, their faith. And the reason why they will say this and they will become closest in love and affection for you who follow Muhammad, Allah's blessing be upon him. And one of the ways in which you can recognize him is because, number one, the institution of the priesthood is still intact. The priest still commands a position of great respect and reverence and plays a significant role in the affairs of the society. He's not peripheral, he's central. Number two, the institution of monasticism, the monastic way of life, the monk, is still there with them. The monastery has not become McDonald's hamburgers. They don't sell. They don't sell a house of God. And number three, because they're not an arrogant people, they don't want to rule the world and all of mankind must submit to them. That arrogance is not there in these Christian people. It is already clear to me at the age of, by the moon, I'm 83, And the Quran tells us, use the moon to count the years. By this time, I'm almost close to 80, but Professor Naqvi has a few years ahead of me. So I've been around for some time and traveled extensively. And I'm really already seeing before my eyes Christian people who insist we follow Jesus. And we don't want to change from following Jesus. But they're drawing closer to us Muslims. And many of them are now saying to me, we accept the Quran to be the word of the one God. And as a consequence, we accept Muhammad, Allah's blessing, to be a prophet. And we remain Christians. These are the emails I'm getting, particularly in the Orthodox Christian world, Eastern Orthodox Christian world. They have been particularly touched when they learned from the Quran what they never knew before. 600 years of relentless Ottoman oppression of those Christians led to enormous hatred for Islam. And it still lingers on in Russia, in Greece, in Bulgaria, in Romania, in Armenia. And when we went to them, and we said, this is what is in the Quran. They said, but we never heard this before. The Ottomans never told us that this is Islam. All that we knew was Ottoman oppression. That's Islam for us. That when he was to be crucified, this is the third chapter of the Quran, and it is named after the father of Moses and Aaron. The Arabic name is Imran, which is my name, but Amran. I don't know where Amram came from, A-M-R-A-M, so I don't bother with A-M-R-A-M. I say A-M-R-A-N. Why is the third chapter named after Amran? I've just written a book entitled The Messiah, the Quran, and the End Time. And in this book, I've attempted to explain why this chapter is named after Amran. That the people who worship Jesus are told that he is on the cross about to be crucified. I ask you, please, don't bother with this nonsense that you find. There's some people say, no. There's a theory of substitution and someone was made to appear like Jesus and he was crucified. I qualify it as nonsense. So he is on the cross and he's about to be crucified. And he does not know what's going to happen. And the Lord God speaks to him and it is recorded in the Quran. O Jesus, first person, O Jesus, I'm going to take your soul, that is the correct way to explain the Quran, excuse me. I'm going to take your soul and I'm going to raise you unto myself. And I'm going to cleanse you of all these blasphemous things they've said about you and your mother. And I'm going to raise those who follow you above and dominant over those who rejected you. And when I place your followers in that position of dominance in the world, they will remain there until the end of the world. And so history will end with the Christian people as a dominant force in the world. They say, but we never heard this before. Nobody ever told this to us. But this is in the Quran. The Quran in the same surah says that amongst the people of the scriptures, there'll be those who will believe in that which was sent down to you, O Muslims, meaning the Quran. They will believe in this. And they will also believe in that which was sent down to them. And they will have the fear of Allah in their hearts. All of this is in the Quran. And therefore, when I went to Russia, when I went to Belgrade, when I went to the Orthodox Christian world and I said, this is in the Quran, they couldn't believe it. The Ottoman Empire, as a student of international relations, I came to the conclusion that the Ottoman Empire, despite certain good things that it did, consistently acted to sabotage Christian-Muslim friendship and alliance in the end time. The alliance which it needed to resist the greatest oppressor that mankind has ever known. And this is why when the Ottoman Sultan conquered Constantinople, the Quran said, and listen carefully, the Quran says, if your opponent asks for peace, you must reciprocate. وَإِنْ جَنَّهُ لِلسَّلْمِ فَجْنَهْ لَهَا. If your opponent asks for peace, you must reciprocate. The Orthodox Patriarch of Constantinople asked for peace in 1453, and the Ottoman Sultan responded with war. I don't need to say anything more. I've written a book entitled Constantinople in the Quran. We might have it here. And when he conquered Constantinople, the Quran says, you must fight to protect the Christian church, the Christian cathedral, the Jewish synagogue, the masjid. You must fight to protect it. That's in the Quran. The Ottoman Sultan took Hagia Sophia and transformed it into a masjid to the eternal shame and disgrace of the world which follows Muhammad alayhi salam. And I don't care two peanuts for those who differ with me on the subject, because I know I'm right. I don't care two peanuts. Our prophet prophesied that the Muslim army will conquer Constantinople after the Great War. The Great War is coming now. And I came to the conclusion that when we conquer Constantinople, we will return Hagia Sophia to the Christian world. And the president of Turkey will not be able to stop it. When these words reach the Orthodox Christian world and also in the Western world, they were crying, weeping. They didn't believe it. But the Christian is of two kinds in the Quran. There's one Christian world which is destined to become closest in love and affection to Muslims. And that will be fulfilled when Hagia Sophia is returned to the Christian world. There's another Christian world in the Quran with which Muslims are prohibited from maintaining friendly ties and alliance. And this is again in the same surah, the table laden with food. O you who have faith in this Quran, do not take Jews and Christians as your friends and allies. Who are themselves friends and allies of each other? This is the correct way to explain the Quran. This is the correct way to explain the verse of the Quran. Do not take such Jews and such Christians as your friends and allies, who themselves are friends and allies of each other. And whosoever from amongst you turn to them with friendship and alliance, as Turkey has done with their membership in NATO, you belong to them, you don't belong to us. And the Lord God will not provide guidance to a wicked people. We see today that those who control power in the world, particularly in the West, they are a Zionist Judeo-Christian alliance. And they are, yes, voices of integrity in the Western world, which is standing up against those oppressors. It's not just military oppression, it's political oppression, it's economic oppression, it is monetary oppression. Now I can continue. Around the world of Islam today, this is the followers of the Prophet, Allah's blessing be upon him, you find that our governments are bought. Our governments are cajoled. Our governments are forced to put their toes at the line by that alliance which controls power. But the people are resisting. I've just come back from 5 months in Pakistan. I spent some time in Albania, which is a NATO country. and I found that the people are different from the governments. And so I want to end by reminding you that there is but one religion, while there are different religious communities within the one religion. And our perspective from the Quran is that Jesus will return. And when he returns, he will lead his community of people. And they will have a holy state in Jerusalem. We call it a Khilafah state. And it will be the ruling state in the world. The Messiah will rule the world from Jerusalem. And that our community will be led by the Imam. Imam al-Mahdi, and he will be in Mecca. And these two communities will be bonded together with friendship and alliance, and that's how history will end. And so we look forward to gatherings such as these to further the cause of understanding between Christians and Muslims. No offense, I'm talking about those Christians who follow Jesus. I'm not talking about those Christians who follow Santa Claus. We look forward to more of these gatherings where we can come together and I can share with you what is in the Quran. I've only given you part of what is in the Quran. And we can learn from you what is in the Gospel. And we can both prepare ourselves for that day tomorrow when Jesus will return. And when he returns, he will be our supreme guide. He will be our supreme legal authority when he returns. But he will not be our leader because we follow Muhammad, Allah's blessing be upon him. So our leader will be the Imam. But when he returns, he will be our supreme guide. He will teach us the Quran as none can teach, because the Lord God has taught him the Quran. And he will be the supreme legal authority for his community and for us. And we pray that the Lord God might help us in our effort to bring these two communities closer together. Thank you. And I am grateful to Professor Safi Shafiq for this invitation to be with you, and I'll be very happy to answer your questions. Thank you.
So, we are grateful to you indeed, and also at this point, it's appropriate, Ruth, to acknowledge the part that my dear friend Mir Maksud Sahib has played in facilitating your visit to us. So, thank you to Mir Sahib as well. Well, there's a lot of food for thought, there, isn't there? There's a lot of angles that you have raised and espoused, which, without giving us a timeline on the end times, that seem to suggest as if we may be close to those times. I don't know.
We have an hour. We have a lot of time. We have an hour.
You mean before the end of time altogether, we have an hour. But it's a very good one. But in terms of the end altogether, is there any indication?
Yes, there is a timeline, a very famous timeline given by our Prophet. In my studies of eschatology, I found this to be the most important timeline. There are several timelines, but this is the one I consider to be the most important. These were his words. When Jerusalem is built up, meaning using the analogy of construction, when Jerusalem is center stage, let me quote the Arabic. Umran Ubayt al-Maqdis, when Jerusalem is center stage. Kharabu Yathrib, Medina, the city of the Prophet, north of Mecca, would be in full-on desolation. Kharab, playing no role whatsoever in the affairs of the world. Kharabu Yathrib Khuruj al-Malhama, at that time when Medina is forgotten, the next great event to occur would be the Great War. And he has spoken about the Great War in another prophecy, that 99 out of every 100 who fight in that war would be killed, indicating a war in which weapons of mass destruction would be used. But this is not surprising to our gathering here today. Khuruj al-Malhama, Fethul Constantinia, the next event after the Great War that is prophesied, would be the conquest of Constantinople. And he praised the army and the praised the command. I don't have to repeat it to intelligent people that the prophesied conquest of Constantinople takes place after the Great War, not in 1453. Then he went on to say, Fathul Constantinia Khuruj al-Dajjal, that the appearance of the Antichrist in person, in human form, would now occur after the conquest of Constantinople. When the Antichrist appears in person, of course, he gave a description. He said he sees with one eye, the left eye. He's blind in the right eye. It looks like a bulging grape. But your Lord is not one eye. Between his eyes on his forehead is written the word disbeliever, kafir. And everyone who has faith in his heart will be able to read that this is a disbeliever. But our interpretation of this is that the left eye symbolizes external sight, observation, scientific inquiry, experimentation. And the blind right eye symbolizes internal blindness. And the Quran says, if you are internally blind, you are no different from sheep and cattle. You have eyes and cannot see. You have ears and cannot hear. You have hearts and cannot understand. You're just like cattle. So this is the timeline. First of all, Jerusalem, and that's where Jerusalem is today. Medina, that's where Medina is today. Then the Great War, which is around the corner. I believe it will probably occur in Biden's watch. And then after the Great War, the conquest of Constantinople. And then,
allow me to be slightly pedantic. What I meant was that this is sequence rather than timeline. Time, we've got a couple of weeks left yet or not. We're okay.
The sequence means which one comes first and which sequence.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
one comes
yeah,
first.
That's right.
That's what I'm doing. I'm giving you the sequence. Yeah.
That's right.
And you'd be fascinated to know what...
Scientists talk about the Earth having sort of billions of years to go yet, actually.
We're not talking about the end of the world. You want to get information about the end of the world, send an email to the Lord God. We're talking about the end of history. That is what we're talking about,
right,
not
okay.
The end of the world.
Yeah.
Just for one more minute, please.
Yeah.
You'll be fascinated to learn our perspective of the events which will unfold once the Messiah appears in person and declares from Jerusalem, I am the Messiah. Sorry, the false Messiah, the Antichrist. And he declares from Jerusalem that I am the Messiah. We have a view of that subject, which I'll be happy to share with you, yes.
Lovely. Thank you so much indeed.
Our Christian brother who is free to choose his way of responding to Jews who reject the Messiah and who have brought the state of Israel into being and who are looking forward now with great enthusiasm for the fulfillment of their end of history when their Messiah will come and rule the world from Jerusalem with an enormous amount of oppression. And the truth has no room at all for oppression. The Quran is very plain and clear when it says that religion is not based only on beliefs.
Religion is not.
But religion also has a second component, which is just as important, and that is your conduct. I think the most powerful voice in history to have paid attention and directed attention to conduct in religion is Gautama Buddha. And he did a wonderful job in this respect. Okay? The Quran says, shall I direct you to the one who has actually destroyed his deen, his religion? This is the one who is in his conduct, he's behaving in this way to orphans, to the needy, to the ones who need to be fed. Araita allathi yukadzibu bid-deen. The actual factual situation, I just mentioned political oppression, I mentioned military oppression, I mentioned economic oppression, I mentioned monetary oppression. This is my field of study, international affairs. And I don't need to spend time with you to repeat to you. I can do it. The enormous amount of oppression there is in the world today. If we on this side of the world eat and our bellies are filled, and they are there in the rest of the world are hungry and dying with hunger, what kind of religion do you have? So, today, unfortunately, they are that part of the Jewish world who are pursuing a misguided agenda of enormous oppression on behalf of the state of Israel in order to fulfill their agenda that you know it. And we have no room for oppression.
But I know that our Muslim scholars and imams also talk about specific circumstances in which this particular Quranic verse can be understood or made sense of in times of war or difficulties that we may have and so on. That it is that there's particular reference to Yehuda Nasar, the Christians and Jews not being your friends, was meant in those circumstances, not for all times in under any circumstances. Is there any validity in that? Have I said it fairly accurately? I mean, some of the time, some Muslim scholars say these things.
I have presented the verse of the Quran to you with clarity. Clarity. There's no room for any misunderstanding. If it is not understood, don't blame me. Don't blame me. Oh, you who have faith in this Quran, do not take Jews and do not take Christians as your friends and allies who are themselves friends and allies of each other. Do not take such Jews and such Christians as your friends and allies. And whosoever from amongst you turn to them for friendship and allies. And I gave the example of Turkey's membership in NATO. You belong to them. You do belong to us. And Allah does not provide guidance for a wicked people. Yes, there are people who differ with me, and they give another explanation. And their explanation is, should I give you?
Yeah, please.
Don't take Jews and don't take Christians as your friends and allies. They are friends and allies of each other. That is false. If you say that's in the Quran, I say that is false. Even a schoolboy would know that Jews and Christians were never friends and allies of each other. Until yesterday. Can you attribute a falsehood, a manifest plain falsehood to the Quran? So this explanation of the Quran is wrong. Don't take Jews and Christians as your friends and allies. They are friends and allies of each other. Huh?
Okay, yeah, thank you so much. Khaled. Could you speak up a bit, please? Yeah.
I'm a Muslim from Algeria. Well,
Algeria. My wife is Algerian.
I know. I'm my wife from
okay.
She sends a very special regards.
Friendly fire.
Okay.
All right.
That also puts all your study at the end of time into falsehood also. You say at the end of the time, the Muslim and the Christian become allies. If that is the case, then we're going against the Quran. The explanation of that ayah is truly for a small period of time. It's Madaniyah, which is came in Medina. And that's between what happened at that time between the Jews and the Christians, because they were both waiting for another prophet to come from their people. So when he came from an Arab, they refused him. So that ayah only for the Jews and Christians
at that time.
There are two ayahs also in the Quran. For me, they are more important because that's clarified a big misunderstanding of what a Muslim is to the Muslim people. Us. He said, us who believers, us in Muhammad, and Ladina Hadu, the Yahud, the Jews. And Nasara to the Christian, whoever believe in God and the hereafter and did good deed, and amal salihan, فلا خوف عليهم. They have not to fear anything. ولا هم يحزنون. In other words, God is promising them that if you believe in God as a Christian, brothers Christian group, as a Jews, and believe in the hereafter, and they did a good deed, as Muslims we sometimes leave that. When you say Allahu Akbar 20,000 times a day, you go to heaven. That's not true. You have to do good deeds.
Absolutely.
This is the ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
Do good deeds. So whoever do good deeds, and believe in God, this is the Quran. In Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Ma'idah. Whoever do good deeds, believe in God, we go to heaven. So here, God is promising the Christian and the Jews. In other words, it doesn't matter which religion you come from, because the Muslim also is not in the Quran. He didn't say, we believe in what? A Muslim man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir. Muslim is the one who believes in God and the Hereafter. So this misunderstanding on misconception is completely unfortunate, which we are suffering from.
I'm aware.
The other thing is, you talk about the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire followed the Sunnah part of the Islam. And the Sunnah started in during the Abbasid and the Amorid part. And at that time, where we have the Wahhabit of today, we have the ISIS belief, who said, kill, make the difficult life of the Christian, and kill, qatl mu'tazil, and kill whoever come out of his religion. And the Islam said completely wrong about it. We started all this meeting with Brother Shafiq talking about the priest in America. The priest in America didn't read the Quran and find out something wrong. He went to CNN and saw what the Muslim did. And that's what he believed with Islam was. And those people on CNN didn't read the Quran, they read the Hadith. And they want to kill everybody in all over the world. So until we educate ourselves that our Islam is not what is in the Hadith, it's what's in the Quran. And that's unfortunately we still, and we will suffer. There are people all over the world, Muslim world, who are today trying to enlighten people that not everything in the Hadith is true. And coming back to your study, even the Dajjal and even the Mahdi Muntada is not in the Quran, it's in the Hadith.
Yes.
So this is the point which is important. Allah consider all the Christian, Muslim,
I should have warned you before I started.
Thank you so much, Khaled. Yes,
I should have warned you before I started that most of the scholars of Islam in the world today differ with me. I should have warned you before I started. But I've been a lone voice for a long, long time. I'm very pleased that something called the internet came. And the number of Muslims around the world, not just Christian, Muslims around the world, who agree with me, is constantly increasing. So I don't enter into debates. I explain to you, this is my understanding of the Quran, and I leave it to you if you differ with
Absolutely, that's
me.
Very fair, my friend. In fact, our late colleague, Anne Bauke, that sort of pet phrase that we remember by is, let there be free spaces between us.
Yeah.
So it's a free space. We're in the university, and CCMR is very proud to be able to take in its fold. So may I take this opportunity to thank you, sir, and I don't know when your itinerary will bring you back to this country again, but on this short visit, you've taken the time, you're flying off tomorrow, you've taken the time to come and visit us in High Wycombe. Thank you so much. So grateful to you. Take our blessings and kind regards and messages of goodwill to your friends and colleagues and to your family back home to Trinidad. And we shall hopefully meet, inshallah,
once again.
Thank you so much indeed. Now.
Thank you. Thank you.
أكبر الله.